The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio.
Sean Khalid from Mam.
Tone change.
One shot, everything rides on tonight. Even if I've got three strikes, I'ma go for it. This moment, we own it.
I ride or die for mine.
Play with me, cause it could get dangerous. See,
I ride or die.
Oh my God, it's that time of the year again. Oh my God. It is Sunday, January 26, 2014. Welcome everybody to Rant EM Radio's coverage of the 2014 WWE Royal Rumble. It just seems like a couple days ago we were doing the coverage for the 1989 Royal Rumble. But anyways, Double A, as always, here manning the controls on this ship, and my own mind, we got a packed 2-hour pre-show. A lot of business to attend to, lots of things to discuss, lots of matches to cover, and lots of surprises for you, the listeners, in store. Once again, I'm Double A, being joined by my co-host, Tony C.
What's going on, boss?
Surfer.
Good evening.
And our surprise personality, voice, co-host for this pre-show. I want everybody to say hello to Mr. Lexicon.
Hey, what's going on, people? I have to check my calendar real quick. Make sure it's not 2008 here. Yeah. yep. No Cena prediction this year. So I'm
oh
good.
My God, it has been eons.
Yeah,
since
he's not in.
It has been eons since Lex has been on the air. And been a part of, at least of a show that I've done. It's been a long time since we've paired up and done a show together.
Very long, yes.
And
it's good to be back, though. I gotta admit, I missed everyone, even the people that like Swax that I yelled at on a constant basis.
That had to change.
Now
I miss y'all. So
now. Now, for those of you that don't know what Lex was referring to about the 2008 comment, I've got to take you back into the history of things, okay? One of the first live shows we ever did, we did a impromptu Royal Rumble show that was kind of during the pre-show, and it went over the span of the Rumble, and we streamed the audio of the Rumble, and then we talked afterwards. And we were on the air that night, I think in total, close to 5 hours. So that was a bit of lunacy. But it was that night in particular, it's funny. I even have the drop here, Lex's prediction. Where is it? Because now that I thought I had it handy. But anyways, Lex had made a prediction that night, early in the night, and I called him crazy for doing it. He said that John Cena was going to win the 2008 Royal Rumble. Now, got to go back into, timeline here. Cena was hurt. He was injured. He was having, neck surgery at that time. Or was it neck surgery? I think it
might have been shoulder surgery.
Shoulder. Yeah, it was the pecs. Okay.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So he had been gone for a couple of months, and it looked like that he was going to come back around WrestleMania. And I said, "You're crazy. He's still hurt. He was just on Tribute to the Troops 2 weeks ago with a sling." and he says, "Ah, come on. I know. I just have that inkling that Cena's going to come in." And sure enough, there was Cena.
Yeah. That, I actually have a similar prediction this year, I guess, kind of.
You do.
But, well, yeah. Well, I mean, kind of similar. It's not the same exact thing, but it's along the same lines. But I'll wait. I'll wait to.
You have a premonition?
Yeah.
That's the infamous night Lee loves to refer to as when Cena popped out and Triple H looked like he didn't know it was going to happen.
You guys, discuss it for 1 second because I hear somebody calling my name. Hold on.
Well, I mean, when that happened, everything went down. I remember people who weren't even Cena fans. They were like marking out over that, and it was kind of like everybody lost their mind for a second. And then it was like, oh, wait, yeah, we hate Cena, never mind. And it was back to hating him again.
Yeah, because he was 30, right?
I believe he was last. I remember the set very fondly because it was MSG. And
they don't have a ramp. They come out inside. Like, they don't come out at the end of the arena. They come out inside the arena.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty cool night, to be honest with you. I'm not the biggest Cena fan in the world. I don't hate the guy either, but it was cool.
It wasn't cool for Triple H. He was the last guy in.
Yeah, well, Triple H, you know.
Yeah, Triple H is. I can't believe I don't have the Lex prediction drop handy. I had that handy for such a long time, and now I don't have it. Oh well. Anyways. But yes, it is time to rumble. This, by far, outside of WrestleMania, is many wrestling fans' favorite night of the year. Because the Royal Rumble, anything can happen. Anything
I mean,
can happen.
There's no WCW World War III. But okay.
Well, I don't know. You know, if I had to place it, you know, Royal Rumble, World War III, Royal Rumble's going to always win. Though I do have a place in my heart.
To be honest with you, but
I do have a place in my heart for World War III, though. So
I know.
But yeah. Now let's talk about this drawing. As you can hear, all the names are in the tumbler. We're going to draw the names here in just a little bit.
The Battle Bowl tumbler.
This is the Battle Bowl tumbler. This is the Battle Bowl Royal Rumble tumbler that gets recycled. And here's the thing. Because the 30... I'm shocked. The listeners disappointed me. Since we did not get 30 entrants, we came close. There are 3 wild cards in here. Meaning that if the wild card wins the Royal Rumble, everybody's name gets thrown back into the tumbler during the post-show, and we will go to sudden death and draw one name at random to declare a winner. Always going to have a backup.
Hold on, Double A Monsoon. Sudden death.
Sudden death. We did sudden death last year also.
Is this WrestleMania 12?
Yes. Yes. So... we're going to take calls in just a second. I know that I see people calling and they want to be a part of the show. We'll get to everybody in just a little bit. We don't want to crowd the lines because we want things to, to be
smooth
today because it is such an important event. And if you're listening to us for the first time, welcome. We've got I got a fine program in store now. If you're listening to us on the go and you're listening to us on TuneIn Radio and you want match results as they happen because you can't watch the Rumble, make sure you follow us on Twitter at RantEMRadio. We will be posting as they happen up-to-the-minute results on Twitter and, of course, on Facebook. We will also be updating the website. And if you're listening to us, chat with us during the course of the event because we'll be here all night straight up through the post-show. And... I guarantee you the post-show is going to be interesting, regardless of who wins, because people are going to have their opinion, people are going to say what they want, people are going to be pissed, people are going to be angry. That's just the nature of the Rumble.
Well, you know, this show sets the tone for the year, basically.
Right.
I mean, because if people aren't happy with the results of this, they're not going to be happy going into WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Also, we want to remind everybody, the coverage just will continue on here on this network because we've had a full weekend of programming. Last night, the Hulkamania special, that aired with Turnbuckle Throwbacks was a phenomenal special. If you didn't hear it, Tony C was a part of that.
Yeah, he couldn't. Tony, man, you need help.
Look,
Hogan's just a man, okay?
He likes.
Yes, he used to play a superhero, but he's just a man.
No, bigger than that. But we digress.
We've got, we had the 200th episode of the Wrestling Call-In Show. And, of course, we had a special 4 o'clock edition of the What Are You Reading comic book show. Now, we've got this show, but mark it on your calendars. Next Sunday, starting at 5 o'clock, Surfer and William Morgan will take over the airwaves with the Super Bowl 48 coverage.
That's right, the Weed Bowl, folks.
So, and by the way, if you're watching the Pro Bowl tonight,
no,
don't watch it. Don't watch the Grammys. Don't watch The Bachelor. The new episodes of during Animation Domination and whatever other filth is on tonight. Watch the Rumble. Stick with us tonight. I know the polar vortex is still blowing strong up in the north. So just relax and enjoy tonight, okay?
It's going to be a fun. Yeah, so, I mean, the Pro Bowl is just as bad the next day as it is the first day. So
they should have never moved the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl. I mean, all right, it was one thing you could watch one last little football after the Super Bowl, and it's not really a game exhibition, but to have it before the Super Bowl just doesn't work for me.
Well, yeah, I never understood that at all.
After the Super Bowl, people were like, they would go to the game, but they wouldn't play. That's why they tried to move it ahead of the Super Bowl.
Right. All right. Like I said, I'll bring people up a little bit later on in the show. The calls are coming in. Just relax. We've got 2 hours, people. Okay, just relax. Anyways, I didn't say filth. I did say filth. But all that garbage, that's on tonight. Yeah. Okay, tonight is the Rumble. Okay, focus on the Rumble. The hell with the Grammys. All right.
Yeah, who watches the Grammys? Who cares about the Grammys?
I watch
anymore?
The Grammys when nothing else is on.
Exactly.
What is it? But what is it? It doesn't. I don't know. Whatever. One Direction wins a ton of Grammys. I don't. I guess that makes some people feel whole inside or something. I don't know. We'll see.
I saw them live once before they became real big. I didn't know who they were.
What? Wait. You saw One Direction live.
Yeah, I was at a TV taping of a local show, and they were like, on there. And this was just before it blew up.
You saw One Direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the Wonder Woman comment earlier, we're learning a lot about you today.
It's pancake season. He gets excited during this time of the year. Can I tell you, I had pancakes on Friday. I went to IHOP and they had the all-you-can-eat pancakes. I tell you, if you can do more than two plates of pancakes, you've got a problem. Okay,
yeah, pretty much.
I'm sorry. That's a lot of pancakes.
Believe it or not, I've not been to all-you-can-eat pancake at IHOP.
Yeah, it was a lot. I ate the first plate, and I ate half of the second plate.
They gave you short stacks, or they gave you full stacks?
No. I ordered a combo meal that came with pancakes, but also included all-you-can-eat pancakes.
Right. I'm saying, when they bring out the pancakes, are they short stacks or full stacks?
No, they're short stacks.
Oh, okay.
No, I couldn't even do a full stack. A full stack is 5 pancakes.
Right.
I can do that.
No, five huge pancakes?
Five huge pancakes. I had pancakes this morning, actually.
But how many?
I was a bit offended too because my wife made it with wheat. And
I have my niece and my nephew here often that they're allergic to eggs. I got to tell you, if you need a replacement for eggs, applesauce in the pancakes works wonders.
Applesauce.
I'm telling you, it sounds funky. But it's actually very good.
It's not really. I used to have applesauce put in a lot of stuff, like cornbread and,
I mean, your generation has the whole pork chops and applesauce thing going on.
Pork chops? an applesauce. Anyways, that's my Bobby Brady impression.
But yeah, people used to eat applesauce as you know, a dish, like as part of a meal with other.
Of course. I still enjoy it.
I can't eat applesauce today.
Oh, I can. I enjoy a good bowl of applesauce from time to time.
I used to eat applesauce sandwiches.
Oh, no, that's sick.
Wait.
That's sick, Surfer. Okay? Applesauce sandwiches? Surfer, you need to get out of the house. I know this cold weather's been... No,
they used to make applesauce sandwiches when I was young.
Yeah, they also used to put rocks on bread, but that doesn't mean it's good.
Exactly.
Anyways, let's do this drawing. Let's get it out of the way, because I know that a lot of people are tuning in specifically to see where they placed in this drawing. Now, here's the thing. The winner of this contest, all right, gets a very special prize. They will program the roundtable that airs the Saturday prior to WrestleMania. Whatever it is they want, we will discuss. They will be the one in charge that night.
Except if Swax wins.
Except if Swax wins.
And in case, this is a dangerous, dangerous precedent.
Now, in case you're wondering, I have not skewed the vote. Swax's name is, in fact, in the Tumblr. So he has a fair shake and a fair chance of winning this. All right?
Bring it on.
All right, so we're going to draw 1 through 30 now. And we'll be... So here we go. Dramatic music, please.
Drum roll.
Here we go. The coveted number one spot in the 2014 Royal Rumble. They'll be paired with CM Punk in this thing. Okay, so this is very important, this first pull. Here we go. Number one. Oh, my God. Number one is a wild card.
Oh, man.
Which means we could go into sudden death. That just makes it exciting, in my opinion. Number two. Here we go. Number two. Tank EMT. And in case you're wondering, Surfer's the only one that did not use his real name in the entry form. Number three, Mark Isaac, a.k.a. Mr. Main Event.
Ooh, number three. Ouch.
Okay. Here we go. Number four, Kyle Deck. He goes by... Smarky Pants. Number five. Scott Bonomo, a.k.a. Kid Human. Okay. Six. And the dramatic music makes it that much more exciting. Number six. Chris Nixon. Number seven, number seven, Swax.
Hey, that's pretty much guaranteed he won't win right there.
There you go.
Number seven.
Number eight, Brian Cannell, Mr. X, he's in the chat room. Number nine, Surfer. Are you happy with your number?
Dang.
Ten. By the way, my name is not in here.
Watch, number nine going to be like the bummiest of bums that come out.
It's possible. Number ten, Iron Man. 11. Number 11, Wild Card. 12, Stevie Ray. 13, lucky number 13 goes to Lexicon.
Son of a goddamn bitch.
Lex got 13?
He got 13.
Hey, hey, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was number 13 when he won, so.
Yeah, and he's the first I'll winner. Take it. 14. Turnbuckle Throwbacks host, Phil Rea.
Uh-oh.
15. Axel Foley. We are at the halfway point now. Here comes number 16. Pastor Sedell, who I saw is also in the chat room. The coveted number 17 spot. This number is the one that produces the most winners. I believe it's 17 and 30, I believe.
I thought it was 27.
Is it 27? I thought it was 17.
Yeah.
All right, no. Number 17, Y2 Jant. Hold on, 17. 18. Victor Gergelva, whatever. That was, what, 18? So, 19. Number 19. Rocky, a.k.a. Rob Jones. Or it should be the other way around. Rob Jones, a.k.a. Rocky. 20. Tony C.
God dang it. 20? Come on, man.
21. Sean Johnson. That rhymes.
I'm 10 spots away. Free.
21. Emmett Bean. 22 goes to Lee Champion.
If Rage gets 30, I'm protesting.
That's why he's not on the call, because we know he's going to scream once I announce his number. 23. Rage.
There you go.
Oh boy. 24.
I don't have to protest.
24. William Morgan.
Who's gonna get 30, man?
25. Sean Fentress, aka Mr. Pickles. 26. Richard Ward, a.k.a. Daddy Rich. That was 26. 27. Oop, my headset is falling off here. 27. Coveted 27 goes to Danielle Ryan.
Congratulations, Danielle.
28.
We're conceding it to her.
Insider William. 29. A wild card.
Who's named it?
And I can see that my math is awful because we are one short. So, because we are one short, this is what we're going to do. Hold it. Instead of adding a fourth wild card, we are taking everything once again and dumping it back into the drum. And somebody is going to be privileged enough to have two entrants into the Rumble. Hey, Mick Foley in 2000 had three. Here we go. We're going to mix it up real good, okay?
Double A, did you get that envelope I sent you through the mail?
U.S. mail has got a lot of problems. Here we go. Oh, the dramatic music ended. Hold on. We gotta restart the dramatic music. Okay.
So this is for number 30, right?
This is going to be for coveted number 30. Somebody will have two numbers. Here we go. Here we go. Number 30. The man who drew also number 10, Iron Man.
Come on.
You better win.
So there you go. There are the 30 entrants into the Royal Rumble. A little unorthodox, but it's the way we do it around here.
And now, I hope you all wrote your numbers down, because don't ask us for them later on, please.
I didn't know.
Well, I know what my number is.
So there we go. Now, luckily, I wrote everything down because I already forgot everybody's numbers. So I've already... Everybody's name is in order. I've got all the little little entry slips numbered. And we'll see who wins during the post-show. So we'll definitely... You'll have to tune in at 11 o'clock because we'll announce it immediately when we go on the air who won. Anyways... Let's talk about this Royal Rumble. First, let's talk about the Royal Rumble in general, because it's a lot of people's favorite event of the year. Lex, you and I have been a part of quite a few Rumbles. Of course, Surfer, you were there since the Royal Rumble started. Tony C, you've witnessed quite a few Royal Rumbles.
I was.
I've been to the Royal Rumble, one of my favorite times ever going to a wrestling event. And despite Rey Mysterio winning, I don't care what anybody says, you get enveloped in the atmosphere. And it's hard not to sit on the edge of your seat.
I think that's like the one event, maybe besides WrestleMania, that all wrestling fans can kind of put to the side whatever grudges they have and just be a fan.
Right.
And enjoy it. So
I agree.
No, I do remember it seemed like at one point, the Royal Rumble was on its way to being an event nobody cared about until they put some stakes into it.
The lean years of the Rumble, like the mid-90s, you know, when it was the Alamo
just
Dome Rumble.
It was just an event, and you got to call yourself king for a few months.
Right. I think
but nobody cared, really.
I think until...
What was the first year that you got the title shot? Was it, 98?
Before that. Had to have been 93 when Luger and Brett won.
Flair won.
Flair won the title.
Well, Austin didn't get a title shot when he won in 97.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He lost it at the next pay-per-view.
When did Flair win?
92.
I mean to get a title shot at Mania.
That was 97. He lost his title shot to Sid, I think. At, what was it, Final Four? I think.
Well, at Mania that year, it was Brett and Shawn.
No, in 97, it was Brett and Stone Cold.
Yeah, Brett and Stone Cold.
Shawn won the Rumble in 96.
Yeah.
Actually, Shawn won it back-to-back, 95 and 96.
Yeah.
Sid and Taker for the title at 13, which was 97.
Right.
Yeah, that was and Sid. So Sid got his shot.
Right, but Austin lost his title match at Final Four. Because they
at
put the
In Your House
at the In Your House pay-per-view, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
That was the swerve that they threw in there.
You know what? Probably when Steve Austin started winning the Royal Rumble, that's when it started to get
the title shot at me.
No, no, no. It started to get a little bit more notoriety. Because the years that it was the Luger-Brett situation, then in 94, I think Brett won again, right?
No, 94, Luger won.
No, no, no. Luger won.
No, 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 that's right, that's right.
Luger
that's
won
right.
in 94.
Luger had the match.
Or was it 94? Yeah. It was 94. Who won 93 then?
Okay, wait, okay. Because the title match in 93 was...
Hogan, no, Brett, Yoko.
Right, okay. Yokozuna won.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And then 94 was Lex and Brett. 95 was Shawn, back-to-back, 96.
Remember, it was a double main event at Mania 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luger, Yoko. No, was it Luger, Brett, and then Brett, Yoko?
No. It was Brett, Yoko first, and then Luger, Brett next.
Brett beat Luger for the title?
No. They won the Rumble together.
Yoko.
Yeah.
Brett fought Owen.
And then Brett had to fight Owen because of the making.
Brett lost to Owen early in the night.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Apparently we got a... if this really is for sale, that'd be very funny. A Shockmaster action figure.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
Anyways, and then of course Tony C's favorite Rumble is 97 because Jose Lothario got involved with a Shawn. But
he had a wooden
leg.
Jose Lothario, I don't think he had a wooden leg.
I think he had a wooden leg, or maybe he has one now. I think he has a peg leg.
No, double A. Jose got involved at Survivor Series 96.
Let me see. I don't see anything here where Jose Lothario's got a leg.
At Royal Rumble 97, Shawn Michaels used the same camera that Sid used. He used it on Sid this time. And that's all you wanted to touch.
And of course, Jose Lothario's shining moment is when he climbed the bottom rope to bring in Shawn at WrestleMania. Anyways. God, he's almost 80 years old.
Shout out to Jose.
Jose Lothario. He should be in the WWE Hall of Fame if he's not old. No, he's not old yet. He should be.
For taking that camera shot from Sid, yeah, he should. I'm petitioning for it.
You and that camera.
He loves that camera shot. I mean, there's particular moments in wrestling that, you know, certain people, grip. He grips that camera, you know. One of my, like, I've always said my favorite moment is watching Tony Schiavone drop like a ton of bricks during Medusa decking Paul Heyman, but that's another story. Let's go around the room. Favorite Rumble moment. Before we get into the card and all that nonsense for this year's Rumble, favorite Rumble moment, because I'm sure everybody has to have one.
I'm kind of going back and forth right now between two rather funny spots. The first one is the 2004 Rumble, where the Cat Ernest Miller got an entry, and he came out with his announcer came out first with that bad wig. And he announced him out, and Ernest, he starts dancing, putting on the good foot, and he hops in the ring, and he's going at it, and Taz is yelling at JR, "Can you do that, JR?" And then the music screams in the background, and Taz says something about someone squeezing someone's yam bag. That was pretty good.
Somebody's got a big break here with... What the hell is this?
Oh, that's the...
Ladies and gentlemen, Ernest the Cat!
That's
my mind.
That's the
Cat's
little friend.
Hey,
oh,
can somebody call
Ernest the Cat Miller?
Funky up in here.
Well, I'll see if he can capitalize on.
Well, what's up with the Cat? Yeah. Okay,
Cat Miller got a good foot.
Well, he's gonna do a little dance out here. Hey, well, somebody better call his mama. Somebody call my mama. Come on, JR.
Call his mama,
somebody
but he can't dance his way to the main main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah, he's got some quick feet.
Got to find his way in, and I hear this guy's like,
somebody call my mama. Oh, Jay, you got to be helping out.
He's, well, I'm not. He's an entertaining. He's an entertaining guy. I'll have to admit that.
But. Oh, yeah, he's dancing. He's nutty, silly. He's got the Elvis pants on. It's nutty. Look at him. Lamont. He's a monster. Fuck, Jeff, can you scream like that?
No.
Come on. Can you dance like that?
Somebody call my mama.
Can you get down like that?
Could
you grab your yam bag hot enough you can scream like that? Oh! Oh! What the hell? Hold on.
My God.
There you go.
And then my second one would be next year, in 2005, at the end of the Rumble, when both Cena and Batista went over.
Oh, my God.
And Vince comes running.
Blew out both the pods.
And he goes to slide in, and bam, he hits his quad right on the ring apron. And then he gets up to walk. He knows he's hurt, but he gets up to walk, and he just kind of, like a wino in the alley, just kind of stumbles to the ground and falls. And then he just sits there and goes,
"He sold it."
Well, shit.
He sold it well, though. He sold it well. What about you, Surfer?
I don't really have a favorite moment.
Of course you do. Was it Backlund entering the Rumble in 2000?
No. That's not my Backlund.
He might be. There is a possibility Backlund could be in the Rumble today.
No, I'm saying, like, the crazy Backlund is not my Backlund, okay?
He's always been crazy.
I don't know who that guy is.
He had a title run, Surfer.
My Backlund cried when the belt was ripped apart.
Now, that's a crazy Backlund.
No, he wasn't crazy.
The shrieking was the same, okay?
He made Helen Hart throw in the towel.
One of my favorite moments is Hogan's reaction when he lost the Royal Rumble to Ric Flair and thought he just was robbed out of his mind. And
he was
started chasing. Ric Flair ran for the hills with the belt.
And the champagne in the background. I told you, Marjorie.
Oh my God! What about you, Tony C?
You know, I have a couple. My number one main one, I would say, was not necessarily the Rumble match, but the main event from Royal Rumble, I think it's 91, for the title, Sarge and Ultimate Warrior,
with
Macho clocked the Ultimate Warrior with the scepter.
And he says, "I kept the gems from the scepter embedded in my head as a constant reminder."
Exactly.
What a great promo.
Because Macho swung that scepter like he was Barry Bonds in 92. And bam! No one's getting up from that.
Oh,
and
man.
That's about it. You know, that's my Rumble. Of course, you know, the Hogan wins, of course, but you know.
But he was the champion at the time, so, well, no, not in not in 1990, but, or 91, I should say.
Hogan was the last one to win before there was stakes involved with winning the Royal Rumble, right?
He won in 90, and he got a title match, I think. Or no, was it 90? No, he was the champion.
90, he was the champion.
In 91, he won it and got the championship match.
That's how he fought.
So, who was the last one to win before there were stakes involved?
Hogan.
Hogan was in the Rumble as champion also.
No, I'm not saying he didn't win as champion. I'm just saying he's the last one to win a match when it didn't mean much.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
For me, I think I got two. One has to be Maven eliminating The Undertaker.
That drop kick.
I mean,
infamous drop. Yeah.
That right there, and JR, of course, JR was doing the call that night, going nuts. Oh my God, Maven just eliminated The Undertaker. Oh my God, I can't believe it. And the people in, I guess it was in Atlanta that day that happened, were just going nuts. They were livid.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to see if I can play that audio, because that was just like, and Maven was shocked to hell also. Winner. Here we go. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Can you guys hear that?
Yes.
Here we go. Here's Maven.
There went Jeff Hardy. Jeffrey picks up his shield, trying to what? You heard me right. Let me do it again. What? Maybe.
Jerry. The Undertaker was putting people over left and right at that point.
In those days, yeah. He put Brock over. He put Maven, Jeff. 2000 was a year that he just said, oh, the hell with it.
It's gone like completely reverse now, where he doesn't put anybody over. Yeah, and he only works once a year.
Exactly. He only works the one match.
Maybe he knew this was going to happen. He's like, I'll just get it in now while I'm kind of young.
I guess so.
I want to pose a question about that Rumble real quick to you guys. Was there any doubt in any of your minds that Triple H was going to win?
No. No, because he came back with that enormous return in Madison Square Garden at the beginning of the year. You know?
Okay. I'm just keep that in mind.
And that was the first time, by the way, the Rumble was in Atlanta, post-WCW. And now the Rumble's been in Atlanta like 3 times.
Yep.
But anyways.
Phillips Arena now.
Okay.
They had Mania in Atlanta.
They've had WrestleMania in Atlanta, too. I think that was a slap to Ted Turner. Let's talk about now what we think could happen, or what we think would be nice to see, we know is not going to happen, though. And I have my theories on a couple of things that might happen, and then I've got my theories on things that, you know, would be nice to see that the chances of it happening would be slim to none. I want to start with Tony C. What is one thing tonight in the Royal Rumble do you think is going to happen, shocking-wise, or something that you would like to see that there's an inkling, a possibility that it could happen, but chances are most more than likely it won't happen?
Them teasing that Sting is coming.
You think a tease of Sting?
Yep. Okay. I know it's a long shot, but...
Now, you know what's funny about that, right? Because Sting issued a message on Twitter. I mean, we'll talk about this in detail on Tuesday night. But Sting issued a message on Twitter, the infamous line from 1996. The only thing that's for sure about Sting is nothing's for sure.
I think Sting's playing you all. I think he's the investor for TNA.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's a freaky.
That'd be a travesty.
100%. Because I don't watch TNA or whatever, but I read what happens, and they, you know, the way he went out was no one really ever goes out like that.
Oh, so do you think AJ's still in TNA?
Oh, no. No, AJ's out. AJ, after I heard the shoot interview, AJ's out. But he could go back. AJ, the thing about AJ, and I learned this after listening to his shoot interview.
Yeah,
AJ seems like a really good guy. He's a great wrestler. But AJ sounds like a dumb old country boy. Okay? If Dixie offers him what he was originally looking for, he's going to go back. There's no doubt about that.
He's a hick.
He is, yeah.
He's from Gaines.
And it was funny because it was like, now, you guys don't follow Ring of Honor, and mainly I'm pointing this to AA, but you know they've been off HDNet for quite some time now.
That I know. And they've been doing
this.
In
his shoot interview, he was like, I heard about the HDNet thing. I think it's a really good thing for Ring of Honor, and I hope to build that. They've been off HDNet for like 3 years now. What are you talking about, man?
He's clueless. I think AJ's thing is that AJ was just clueless to everything, because I heard, I didn't hear the shoot interview. I heard another interview that he did. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how he watched WWE the other day. And he was talking about Del Rio, but he had to think about the name for a second.
Yeah.
You know, because he says, oh, my God, I'm forgetting his name because I don't want to mess it up, so I don't want to say it. And, like, halfway after he got into what he was explaining, he said, oh, wait, Alberto Del Rio. And
He's definitely in his bubble.
I think so. He's in a bubble. He's in an AJ bubble. You know, he's in his pickup truck listening to Trace Atkins, you know, and Travis Tritt, and you know, across the street from my house today was the 2014 Kiss Country Chili Cook-Off, where performances were done by some of these country bands that are famous, that the names are escaping me now. But
Kiss, like the greatest band in the world, Kiss. That kind of Kiss?
No. Kiss Country.
Okay. Kiss Country. Not Tony Schiavone's favorite band.
No.
Kiss?
Kiss Country. Exactly. The radio station, Kiss Country.
Nobody can say it like Schiavone.
Yeah, exactly. No, but like he's, you know, AJ's just driving around, listening, you know, he's still cranking out, you know, the Oak Ridge Boys. So, and probably that's his favorite song, Elvira.
Okay.
Elvira. Anyways, do you rock the Elvira Surfer?
No, I mean I know the song, but
okay, because we know you bust a move to the What's Happening theme song. So I mean anything's possible at this point. But for me, or Surfer, shocking thing. Or we started with you, right?
Yeah.
He thought it was going to be. Or we started with Tony C. Okay, so you said the tease of Sting. What did you say, sir?
Me tonight.
Yeah.
Somebody other than the usual six winning the Royal Rumble.
So you think we're going to get a surprise winner?
I mean, that would be like a game changer if somebody that's been in the mid card the entire career. Just one out of nowhere.
Now I remember 2 years ago when Del Rio won, and all of us were caught off by we were caught off guard.
I didn't find that to be off guard because, like Del Rio has never been a mid card since he's been there. He's been like lower upper card.
I don't know. Lex, did you say one?
I think. Well, the shocking thing I'm going to leave for my
pick.
Oh,
okay, that's right. You have a theory. You have a conspiracy.
I have a theory. I do. The thing that I honestly wouldn't be shocked if it happened, but it might not happen, is the Ultimate Warrior making his Rumble return. I think that's going to blow the lid off the place. That he's going to run down. He's going to clothesline a bunch of people.
Mine is along those lines, but not with the Ultimate Warrior. I think Jake Roberts definitely will be in the Rumble this year. But that's not my surprise entrance. And I think everybody at this point is expecting for Jake Roberts to be in the Rumble.
Yeah.
I think, just because, I think Hulk Hogan's going to be in the Royal Rumble.
That would be pretty shocking, just because we know how he can and can't move. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I want
to
know.
It take him the whole pay per view to get down to that ring.
He's going
to
straddle that top rope once they clothesline him over.
Maybe they'll bring back one of those, you know, the WrestleMania 3
carts.
WrestleMania 6.
Yeah, you know, I know the wrestler is kind of patterned after Hogan. And they made you believe he died in the ring at the end. But we don't want to see that happen to Hogan.
No. Like I said, I think Hogan's going to get eliminated, but he's going to straddle that top rope like you would a bed sheet on a clothesline. You know? But if I had to give a surprise thing that won't happen, like it's 99% won't happen, but there is that 1% chance it could. I'm leaving the door possibly open because I saw that I posted the question in the group page to gauge everybody's opinion. There is that possibility AJ Styles will be in the Royal Rumble. I'm leaving that open. Just for the sake of leaving it open. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to come in and get a contract with the WWE and work WrestleMania and Monday Night Raw and things like that. But as a surprise entrant, like, oh my God, it's AJ Styles. What is he doing here? He doesn't even work here. You know, type thing. Just to catch everybody off guard, like to do something radically different.
Yeah, the more surprises they can put in that match, the better. Because, you know, a good two-thirds of those guys coming down are just filler.
Exactly.
I think the problem with that, you kind of answered when you were talking there, it's that would be different. That wouldn't be the WWE way. If they were to get AJ Styles, they don't want him going out wrestling a TNA style. And it's just, even if it's a rumble.
Oh, but he doesn't necessarily have to. I mean,
the best thing I could say was, oh, we're going to see a nice bump to the outside on this one.
Yeah, I mean,
because he's not winning the rumble. Not winning the rumble. Most people won't even know who he is when he comes out.
Now let me.
I don't think he has that name.
Oh, I think he does. I think he does. I think it's a big enough name that it's gonna. It would bring the, and you know what. I say this because they're in Pittsburgh. Not that Pittsburgh is anything special, but I don't know where ROH is. ROH had a show in Pittsburgh yesterday, right? I don't know if AJ worked the show or not.
He did.
He did.
No, he wasn't there.
He was not. Okay. But AJ could fly into any city in the surrounding area and drive in so that he's, you know, not seen at the airport and things like that, and to be honest with you, I think the wrestling fan, even you, Lex, okay, would be not mortified, but it's the word that came out, would be floored.
Let's say
that this was the scenario. CM Punk was number one and then AJ came out number two. What do you do at that point?
That would be different.
What do you
think?
I
would. I would honestly be excited because I know that the Rumble would be very, at least for that first part, would be very good wrestling. But at the same time, I'd be really confused as to why he would be debuting at the Royal Rumble. I don't know. But that doesn't mean that WWE doesn't do confusing debuts because I saw Batista and it's just like
right.
Well, with his skinny jeans. That's not how I would have done it, but all right, you know. So it's there is that possibility. You put it at 1%, I put it at like 0.5% or something like that.
Right. I'm leaving it for I'm leaving it open for the sake of just leaving it open. Would I give that percentage to Sting also? No. I don't think Sting is going to be.
Sting walked out would bring the roof down.
Oh no, the building would collapse if Sting came out. I think.
Right. Yeah.
And I think
especially if it's, I don't know if Undertaker's in it or not or supposed to be or whatever, but especially if it's pointed towards him, because that's what everyone wants to see.
I honestly think that if that happened, if let's say just a random number, it was Sting, it would not like Sting's music would not play. The lights in the building, I think, would go out.
Right.
Of course.
And it would go out for 15 seconds, whatever it would be, and everybody would be confused. And then maybe the lights would come back up and Sting is standing in the center of the ring.
I think it would be cool if, honestly, the lights went out and that glowing WrestleMania sign up there, they showed like a spotlight up there and you could see Sting
just
looking
out
at Taker in the ring. And he's, you know, obviously indicating WrestleMania 30 and all that bullshit.
If he was to, like, show up in the ring after the lights come on. Mm-hmm. She's standing there with a baseball bat. That would be iconic.
Take what he did, what Lex was just saying, and add in what he did at the Clash of the Champions
with the crow,
with the bird. Oh yeah, and the little person talking.
When a man's heart.
That crap is scary, yo. I knew Hogan was in trouble once I heard when they did all that. I was like, oh, okay, it just got real.
So I mean, we're gonna see what happens. I mean, anything can happen, anything will happen. And, of course, we're guaranteed at the end of the night somebody pointing to the WrestleMania 30 sign.
Of course.
Going out the quickest. Going off.
Huh? What was that?
Who's going out the quickest?
The going out the quickest? Fandango. I don't know, Fandango or something like that. Now, I got to take some umbrage to what I heard last night on the Wrestling Call-In Show. I was driving when I heard the comment, because you guys were talking about the Barbarian being, or no, the Warlord being eliminated in 2 seconds, and then Santino being eliminated in 1 second. And then Rage came in and said, I predict that somebody gets eliminated faster than that. Unbelievable, Rage.
That's smarts right there.
Unbelievable. We are getting some pictures coming in from the Royal Rumble, apparently. Apparently, it's the standard set, as always. But whatever. Let me see if we got any breaking news here from anything before we get into the actual card. Because the actual kickoff will start here in about 30 minutes and change, courtesy of the WWE, with your panelists, all WWE Hall of Famers and Royal Rumble winners, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Ric Flair, and Shawn Michaels.
Which Shawn Michaels are we getting? Are we getting the heelish Shawn Michaels or the...
I don't know. Could be the same Shawn Michaels as the other day. I don't know, the last pre-show. Rage, I know you want to call in and defend yourself, but we'll wait. Okay? We'll wait. We're going to wait on that phone call. Anyways.
Because there's going to be a whole bunch of yelling and obscenities.
Jesus. Let me see here. I'm going to go to WWE.com to pull up the card so we can start talking about our predictions. And I hear that Lex has got some comments of his own about what we're going to witness tonight. Things kick off with the WWE Tag Team titles on the line during the kickoff match during the pre-show. Cody Rhodes and Goldust versus the New Age Outlaws. We'll start with Lex, because Lex has been away from wrestling in a way for a while, though he's kept his finger on it. You know, he hasn't turned a blind eye completely.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on. You know?
When he heard New Age Outlaws, he isn't thinking he woke up in the year 2000, has he?
I know, right? What do you think, Lex? New Age Outlaws, Cody Rhodes and Goldust. We got three Attitude Era members and one New Age member.
Well, while I think that the Outlaws will win tag team titles again before they die, not on a pre-show for Royal Rumble.
You know what? These pre-shows now are a big deal now.
They are?
They're a big deal for the WWE now. Title changes happen a lot on these pre-shows.
I honestly think that would be a pretty big story. Like, you know, I've only watched Raw for like the last 2 weeks or whatever, but it seems like the Outlaws are a pretty big focus on Raw and SmackDown or whatever. Mm-hmm. They get a lot of time, it seems. So
because they still I think work very well.
A title change would be like a storyline thing, and I think they'd want to show that on pay-per-view probably. I don't know, though. I go with the Rhodes.
You know what I wonder? How these pre-shows are going to do on the new network.
Yeah, I mean...
I guess
so they're
going
to be
change.
Streamed to the network then.
The pre-show, everything's going to be on the network. Everything.
But the pre-shows will be live streamed, right?
Yeah, they're always live
with the commercials.
With the commercials that they always do now, you know, because right now, you know, on pay-per-view they stream the pre-show. It's not on just.com. It's actually on pay-per-view.
I've seen like the pre-show with their panels and stuff like that, and I think it's a really good idea. But they. From what I've seen, it's been piss poor execution. It's very awkward, and
you know why though? They don't. At first, they were involving the crowd in the building. They were like the headsets would be hot; they would be on so that the crowd in the building would hear.
Right.
And now, they don't do that anymore. And I think that's one thing that should change. But hey, it all depends on the panel. I think any panel with Mick Foley is always a winner. I don't know what to expect of Hacksaw blending with Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair.
Good. And see, when they announce these like groups, it's just kind of like, you know, that's not going to work. It might be like entertaining, and like a train wreck is entertaining, but I don't know.
You know what's funny?
I think it's weird for me because like I watch sports and I expect it to be like sports, you know, like Lee Corso kind of, you know, it could be goofy like that, but still kind of get the meat and potatoes in. But this is just really goofy stuff.
This is not Jimmy Johnson and Terry Bradshaw and
yeah. Sometimes they're goofier than WWE though.
And Howie Long. Can I ask you a question? Go ahead.
Does it make a difference, the predictions that the WWE having their own website on these matches?
Not at all, because you know what? They probably put those in to swerve the audience.
Because they're predicting New Age Outlaws to win.
No, but they're only going to put what they think in terms of the big matches. They're going to swerve you on those.
It's probably some worker in the WWE.com headquarters who really doesn't know what's going on or probably what's going to happen.
They probably said, here's a list of names, and
so
and that's it. But okay, so Lex says the New Age Outlaws. Tony C.
No, I said the Rhodes.
Oh, you said the Rhodes.
Yeah, I said that the titles wouldn't change.
Oh, you don't think it? Oh, okay. Tony C.
I'm going with Triple H's homeboys, the New Age Outlaws.
You're going with DX 2000.
Yep.
What about Surfer?
I'm going with the Rose. They have been the workhorse of that company since they held those titles. They're on TV like twice a week.
Right.
And twice on Sundays.
Okay. They've been the champions now 6 months? Maybe? Maybe not that long, but they've been
6 months. We're talking about what?
September?
No. Yeah.
So we're talking four, five, 6 months, something like that.
And so, it worked the whole time. Like, you haven't seen a week where they haven't been on TV.
And their matches, in particular, their matches. Now, I don't know what to expect with this match during the kickoff at 7:30. I expect that to be an exceptionally long match for a kickoff. But their matches on pay-per-view have been second to none. Let's take you back to a couple of pay-per-views ago when they had a match against the, what was it, the Usos. And it was, or was it like a three-way match or something? I think it was them, the Usos, and then the Real Americans. And that was one of the best tag team matches of the year.
And Goldust.
That was the Survivor Series, right?
I think so.
He has been on the top of his game as of late. I mean, like, he's really, he hasn't looked as good in a long time, but he looks good in the ring.
I think his brother makes him feel young.
Make him work.
Like, he doesn't look slow or out of shape.
Nope.
Well, remember, working tag is a lot different than working singles.
Yeah, but they've been working very physical.
Oh, I'm sure they have. That's their style. But if Cody can pick up most of the slack as far as like running the ropes and shit.
It hasn't been like Cody in the ring most of the time.
It's been Goldust.
Splitting the time in the ring.
I think it's more Goldust than Cody. That's my opinion. I mean, I don't know. Surfer, you said the New Age Outlaws.
No, I said the Rhodes.
You said the Rhodes. Okay, I don't know. I'm getting everybody's predictions mixed up. I'm going with the New Age Outlaws today. I really think they're going to win because I honestly think WWE has plans of utilizing them to really revamp the tag team division. And I don't care if Billy Gunn is 50 years old and the Road Dogg is also antiquated, they are working very good matches in the ring. And as long as they could put on good matches, if they have to be tag team champions for a short period of time, I honestly don't care because that's just going to elevate everybody else. Because I think the day they lose the titles,
transitional champions.
But no, they're not going to. I don't see them as transitional champions. I think what's going to happen is they'll lose the titles to like the Usos, for example.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I think is going to happen. Especially the way the Usos have been, you know, on top as of late. because they've been feuding with the Wyatts, and they've been teaming a lot with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk and those guys. So I think we're going to see some big things coming in the tag team division going into WrestleMania. And Mr. X in the chat room thinks X-Pac is going to interfere.
Could.
It's but possible.
He'll probably rip his asshole again.
Anything's possible. Exactly. He might rip his asshole again. Would be the third time, by the way.
God. I do wonder what he does with his asshole that makes it...
I understand ripping it once. It could be a freak accident. Anything's possible. Okay,
right.
Lee sent me a story. I really should save it for Tuesday, but Lee sent me a story of, I believe, Surfer, you should know about this, because it's a local Philadelphia story, where a teenager got off the subway and got stopped and frisked by a female cop, and she yanked on his junk so hard that she tore it.
Excellent, didn't he?
Wow.
Yeah, and now they say that... You know, he's not going to father any kids, possibly.
That's a big lawsuit right there.
The city would change their name to my name, because I would own it.
What, you would own his balls? Or?
No, I'm saying if that was me, and that happened to me because of the police.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Sued the city so bad, they would have to change the city into my name.
I thought you were putting yourself in the shoes of the cop. Frisking the kid.
Oh my god, the cop
owned him.
The cop yanked his stuff so hard that he said, "I heard a pop and then I felt a pop."
Yeah, I knew a kid who lost a testicle when we were younger from skateboarding.
Yeah, but that's the conventional way.
Yeah. Like it shot right up between his legs and
this woman roughed him up. And they want to go after the city for sexual abuse on a minor. Because the kid is only like 16 years old.
I don't see anything wrong with that. That makes sense.
No, of course. Of course it makes sense. But anyways. So yeah, I think if X-Pac gets involved, I hope in cartoons when they put a Band-Aid, it's just, it looks like an X. I hope he's got an X covering, keeping things in place. Anyways, let's go on to some other matches here. Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt. Now, I got to ask this question before we go on to this match. We know that Goldust and Cody Rhodes will, in fact, be in the Royal Rumble. We know that. That's been confirmed already. I don't know if the same could be said for the New Age Outlaws. However, usually, if you have a match on the card, more often than not, you do not participate in the Rumble match itself. Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt. Does Daniel Bryan compete in the Royal Rumble tonight?
All right. I'll just get to it. This is my pick here.
Okay.
Bryan to win the Rumble. He's semi injured. So working the full Rumble, no. But he'll probably be 30.
Mm-hmm.
He'll lose to Wyatt. Probably by some sort of debauchery. Maybe end in a schmoz, as Bret Hart likes to say. But basically, he's going to lose, and everybody's going to be, "Aw, damn it, whatever. All right, let's go to the Rumble now," and everything. And then he'll come out number 30. The crowd will be rocking, "Yes, yes, yes." He'll go out, he'll do his thing. It probably won't last more than a couple minutes, and he'll probably win with a counter, reversal, or something like that. Pay-per-view goes off the air. He's doing his yes thing with the shot of the WrestleMania sign in the background.
So
the reason I say that is the Rumble is usually fan service more than any other WWE event that they hold. They usually adhere to the fans when it comes to the Rumble match. Bringing back people that never should be back again, blah, blah, blah. So, I don't like these rumors that he'll face Sheamus. That's stupid, dumb, and doesn't make any goddamn sense at all. And if they do that, I'll probably stop watching again. Just because it's such a waste,
That would be a shocker.
Yeah, I think that because I really don't think it's that big of a shocker though. Like, I'm surprised that people are like just nodding their head. Okay, Daniel Bryan's not going to be in the Rumble. Are you fucking kidding me? Because your biggest act right now is not going to be in the Rumble.
But that's the thing. I think we're maybe it's us being complacent in the sense that we're so used to WWE screwing over Daniel Bryan at this point.
Yeah,
here's a guy who
he's not that over though.
Oh, he is.
He is.
Chant is over. We talked about this last night.
It doesn't matter if it's the chant. The chant goes with the person that came it up. Austin,
no, the Big Show used the chant too. He was over.
Daniel Bryan is over. He's not as over as Yes is.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I have to be under the assumption that we're just complacent. Because, look, let's look at the history of this.
Is he suffering a concussion?
He's been cleared to wrestle, but, you know, we don't know the true story. But here's what happened. So, WrestleMania 27, he was supposed to face Sheamus for the U.S. title. Match got bumped from the card, ended up being the dark match that night. This is before they started doing the pre-show. WrestleMania 28 rolled around here in Miami. World title was on the line. Daniel was the champion going into the match. The match ended up opening the card and lasted 18 seconds. Boom. WrestleMania 29, he ended up in a tag team match that nobody could care about, where the tag team titles were on the line. Then he finally wins the WWE title this past summer, got screwed out of it, won it again, got screwed out of it the next night, and really hasn't been back in the title picture since then. And has had this kind of interesting feud with the Wyatts. And
she's not going to end tonight.
It's not going to end. Probably it won't end, but it's just, I don't know. WWE's screwing around a little too much.
So you think he got screwed out of the title at SummerSlam?
It's not that he got screwed out of the title. I think WWE is screwing the fans over. Daniel Bryan, I think, is a company man, and he'll do what he's told.
Like, if we go ahead and believe that Cena's going to fight the Wyatts or whatever, or at least Bray, that leaves, you know, Randy Orton. I don't see the whole Randy Orton Batista thing going down. They've built so much to this point between Orton and Bryan and whatever they call themselves, the corporation or whatever they're calling themselves now. The Authority, there you go. So they've built so much with this over the past year, they'd be foolish not to use it to come back to this again. It would almost seem like if they went ahead with this and Bryan wins the Rumble and he wins the title at WrestleMania, it would be like everything that happened is okay. It's fine because they made up for it here and it all built to this moment.
But, okay. One, I see Bryan. I think they see Bryan as a guy better suited to chase the title than to be a long-term champion.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. You know, I think, okay, had it been on a normal circumstance of him winning the SummerSlam and there was no Money in the Bank briefcase holder, he probably would have held on to that belt for a minute. But once you knew Randy Orton had that Money in the Bank briefcase, that he was going to be champion. So, it was a question of how long was he going to hold that out? Because you think Orton would still hold on to that title, that case today, if they didn't give it to him in SummerSlam? You think he'd still be walking around with it? He'd have been won it by now.
I honestly don't see a reason why they would have kept the titles on Orton if they're not coming back to this. Why not make Cena the unified heavyweight champion if you weren't going to come back around to this? I mean, look where Orton is right now. He's working, what, middle of the card against Kofi Kingston as the champion? I know they're doing that to set something up. I get it. Make him vulnerable. But Daniel Bryan can do that, you know? Why couldn't he?
But then you got Brock Lesnar waiting in the wings for whoever wins. That
would be a phenomenal match. I'm telling you, Brock versus Bryan. If especially if it's no DQ,
he will kill,
you know.
Daniel Bryan.
Exactly. That's fantastic because that's what Brock is. and you're highlighting that.
Look, so. But you can't put Brock in there and put Brian at risk.
But Brian is a grappler, too. Like, he knows his shit. He could be in MMA if he wanted to.
When Brian had the belt before, right? Look at Brock the matches he had. Look at the matches he had. They were gimmick matches at best. Yes. And he was taking on the Big Show and Mark Henry and didn't get like a clean pin on either one of those guys because they just look at him as too small to pin either one of those guys.
Yeah, but that's the way he should be booked, though, you know? If you're, especially because he was heel at the time as well, right?
Yeah, but even as a face, how often are you going to believe that he's capable of taking on guys two and three times his size?
But that's the point. That's what works. You don't believe that.
You know, beating a guy Cena's size is one thing. Beating a guy the Big Show size is another.
Right, and I'm not saying that they should definitely book Big Show versus Brian, or I'm not saying they definitely should put Brock with Brian, but I don't think it would be that bad, to be honest with you.
Brock's too careless. Struggled in the ring against the Wyatt family, like Roland Harper. It wasn't like he took them down with no problem. He was in 20-minute matches with both those guys.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, not every champion has to squash everybody in that long. I think Punk showed that too, even though his wasn't his, when he actually got the belt.
Brock Lesnar almost killed CM Punk too.
But look how long CM Punk held that thing for. You know, if Punk can hold the title for that long, Brian can hold it for half that time, or even maybe a third of that time, going after WrestleMania, because that's all you need to do, though. You understand that, right? You just need to make him win at WrestleMania. Then what do you do? What do you do the next night? You can turn him heel if you want. You could. It doesn't matter. He can lose the title next night.
It's about big Brian heel.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
A mistake in my mind. If you make him champion, that's one thing. But to make him champion, to make him heel again. I mean,
the problem is
heel champion. We haven't seen face champion.
But you talk about the chasing of the title, and I agree 100%. The chasing the title is always more important than actually winning the title. That's what draws the money. That's the build. But at the same time, after someone wins the title, it almost 100% of the time never goes well for them if they're face. And if Punk couldn't get it to go very well for him, you know, it's probably not going to work for Brian. So you might want to – he's eventually going to turn heel anyway. So that's one thing they might try to do. I'm not saying they should, but just get him to that point. Have him win the title. The chant is over. That's what you want. I don't know how many they're going to have this year, 80,000 people chanting that at the same time.
Yeah.
Because you want to create that moment, and you want that on tape so you can play back and back and back and over. And you're basically putting your company over saying, look how big something that we created is, and now it's leeching over to sports and this and that. And you might as well give Brian the rub because he's the one that came up with it, right?
Right. I was there that night.
Yeah, I mean it's maybe it is more of a wrestling fans thing, but once baseball season comes back around, I think you're going to start seeing that a lot.
Oh.
Because out of everything, the first sport that really started recognizing Daniel Bryan was baseball.
Yeah.
Because you started having a lot of guys have long beards and stuff like that, and That's great cross promotion.
Is the new version of the wave?
Yeah. Do you think next Sunday at the Super Bowl there'll be a yes chant at MetLife Stadium?
With him being champion, I still think you have to worry about him. And there were certain guys because he's not as big. You know,
but they know how to book a small guy in a championship spot. They're not worried about that, and you shouldn't be worried about that either because they know how to take care of that.
If he gets a concussion from getting the sister Abigail, if Brock Lesnar got his hands on,
oh my God, that would be awful.
Probably get a concussion.
Yeah, of course. You think it's going to happen at the Super Bowl? Remember,
no, because that's a neutral site thing. And I don't know how many fans of which team are going to be there. It's kind of hard to tell. It's more of a Homer thing. So like maybe more so in college sports.
Okay.
Because there's more pride and stuff.
I don't think it's gonna be a lot of neither, because one, you're talking about an East Coast stadium with West Coast teams, and
that's true.
You don't get many homers to get tickets for the Super Bowl in the first place.
I don't know. A lot of people are just predicting for a lot of snow next Sunday so they get an interesting game.
Yes.
So, anyways, so real quick, did you guys give your picks? Because I stepped out for a second. Daniel Bryan over Bray Wyatt.
I'll go Bray.
Or you're going with Bray.
I'm going with Daniel Bryan.
You're going with Daniel. Tony C?
Daniel Bryan.
I'm going to go with Bray Wyatt on this one. And I'm only going with Bray Wyatt to back up Lex's theory. I'm not saying that that's going to happen. But I think that if Daniel Bryan is in the Royal Rumble, that he will place well in the Rumble and have a better performance than he will in his match than he would with his match with Bray. Like, the match with Bray is going to be, it'll be all right. It's not going to be a scientific match or anything like that. But I think ultimately the place where Bryan is going to shine tonight, if he's in it, will be the Royal Rumble.
It's the same effect as like the Bret Hart thing at WrestleMania 10. You put over Owen early to win something later. Right. You know?
Do you think being Bray Wyatt lends to Husky Harris going far in this company?
I think so. I think under his current gimmick, I don't know how much longevity he has, but I think at some point that's going to get old. I mean, right now it's still kind of a novelty. He still has some pretty dark promos that a lot of people are digging. I personally don't understand them. But give it time. I think probably maybe there's another year of gas in that gimmick before it has to change to a more of a neutral gimmick where it's, you know, maybe he'll see the light and become a, a born again.
Yeah, there's not much tread left on that tire of the Wyatt family, in my opinion, but he's really good at it.
He's very good. He's
mesmerizing.
If they expand the family, there could be some more steam.
I could see him, you know, he could. If I could see him playing in a horror movie as Bray Wyatt.
But WWE, I'm shocked WWE hasn't even considered doing a movie with him yet.
They might get sued by Martin Scorsese for copying Cape Fear, you know.
No, but they don't have to do it specifically, you know, like that. He could play a character that is sick and demented.
Yeah,
you know. All right, so the Royal Rumble, of course, naturally doesn't have that many matches, and this one is no different. We are down to the last two matches outside of the Rumble match. A match that I don't expect to be pretty, and I mean that. Brock Lesnar versus The Big Show.
Somebody's getting hurt.
Somebody's going to get hurt, and I think it's going to be Brock, and think Brock is going to be very careless in this match, because I think Brock is going to say, the hell with it, it's The Big Show. I don't have to be safe because he'll be able to handle it.
I hope The Big Show snaps. Be honest with you. Like he shows one of those feats of strength that you don't see, you haven't seen in a long time when it comes to Brock Lesnar.
You know what I watched yesterday? And I forgot how good of a badass Brock was until I saw this. Because the Brock of today, I could give a damn about him. He's careless. He doesn't care in the ring. He shows that he doesn't care. But I watched Brock Lesnar versus Zach Gowen yesterday. And while that match, of course, catered to Brock and it was just a bloodbath, it really showed Brock in such a heavy, badass heel light that it was like, oh, damn. I mean, there was a time that Brock was the man.
It was.
His build was just phenomenal. Maybe one of the best things WWE has ever done. Building him up from scratch.
Was Paul Heyman.
Better than Goldberg's build.
But like he debuted and it was just like, holy shit, who's this guy?
But a lot of that was Paul Heyman
destroying the Hardy Boys and everything like that. And then Undertaker, his matches with Undertaker were very, very good, especially with Paul Heyman in the mix and everything. So,
yeah, I think his matches with Kurt Angle, you know, were very good. And then after that, he kind of tapered off when the Zach Gowen stuff started. That's when things started going downhill. But
the Bob Holly match,
of course, Bob Holly.
I like that match.
You know, we always said, or at least I always used to say, that the Royal Rumble would always feature a title match that nobody cared about, with the exception of a few Rumbles here and there. You know, of course, there was Mick and Triple H, and I think Cena,
Rock
and Jericho. There's been a few ones that were, they were big matches. The match tonight is obviously a big match, but then you've got Brock and Bob Holly. I mean, Bob Holly for the WWE Championship. Think about that. Bob Holly could have been the WWE Champion.
I just love it because you know they were hitting each other as hard as they could.
How do y'all feel about when he beat The Rock for the championship?
I think it was
that was the right move. That was great.
I mean, how do you feel about the match though?
It was nothing special.
I don't remember it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't remember it being anything special. Because you got to remember
the Rock Bottom, and you know once you kicked out of Rock Bottom, it was,
you got to remember that last stretch with The Rock in 2002 was not very good. I mean, he wrestled a three-way match with The Undertaker and
Kurt Angle
that wasn't that good. It just wasn't. Rock was not performing.
Darrow was good.
Huh?
He was all right.
Which one?
He had a match on Raw with Eddie Guerrero.
I don't remember.
That time was all sorts of fuckery though, because he also had Hogan in there with the title.
Exactly.
It was crazy. It was crazy time.
Oh, yeah, that came before Hogan.
Yeah, but still, there was a lot of just weird stuff going on.
Him and Triple H had a match. A lot of people don't know about it, or they forget. Him and Triple H had a match. The Rock and Triple H had a match for a while.
I don't remember. A lot of things. That was during that I was resentful that Vince bought WCW era. You know, because that was right after that happened. Let's give our predictions of the Brock Big Show thing. Who do we think is going to come out on top?
I'll go Brock if they're going Undertaker and Brock at WrestleMania.
I'm not a liquor store. Ooh. It happened a while ago. We tried to explain it to collectibles. They said no.
There we go.
Pawn Stars.
There we go. Tony C.
I'm going Brock with the Big Show probably getting his arm broke.
That would be a big bone to break. One of these days, Brock is going to get out of control and like really do some damage to somebody's arm. Anyway,
we haven't seen a really bad bone break in a while.
Who was it that had a injury just recently? Somebody just suffered a really bad injury in sports.
Right. There was two. One was basketball, one was football, I believe. One was college basketball. But the college basketball one was worse because you could, like, the bone was sticking out.
Yeah, no, who's the one? Yeah, but who's the one that had the, Anderson Silva.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, the rubber leg incident.
Yeah. Anyways, Surfer, you're going with?
It's probably going to be Brock Lesnar, but I'm hoping for a Big Show win. Because he really needs to wash the stink off that whole crying giant storyline he did last year. And the only way he can do that is to take out Brock Lesnar.
I'm going with Brock Lesnar on this one, but I honestly think that there's going to be a lot of carnage in this match. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt, and I mean in a bad way.
Somebody's gonna get hurt bad.
I think we're gonna see some blood in this match.
Break Big Show's arm?
Yeah, I think so. It's inevitable. He's broken everybody else's arm.
Yep.
Whose arm did he just break twice. Recently? Whose arm did he just break?
Mark Henry.
Mark Henry. There you go. So, WWE World Heavyweight title is on the line. John Cena against the champion, Randy Orton.
Randy Orton for reasons I've already discussed.
Okay. Tony C.
I'm going to preface this by saying Orton unless Super Cena shows up.
You think Super Cena is going to show up? So you think that it's possible we could see a Super Cena sighting? That was a tongue twister. And the Royal Rumble kickoff is just getting underway now. There they are in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Home of Kurt Angle, and as Bret Hart once said, if they were to give the United States an enema, they'd stick the tube right there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Kurt Angle got to get drunk somewhere.
Oh,
that's probably my favorite Bret Hart promo of all time. Of all time.
No, okay. Double A, he cut a good one.
No.
With Mean Gene on, I
Listen.
Think, Ciclope?
El Dandy,
I think.
There we go. There's the Nature Boy and Shawn Michaels and Hacksaw in a suit. But anyways, so who do we think? So Lex said Orton. Tony C. says Orton unless we see Super Cena. And what about Surfer?
If there's no shenanigans, you got to give it to Cena. I mean, Cena doesn't.
I really don't think the business can handle any more shenanigans, given what TNA has done in the last 2 weeks.
The business runs on shenanigans. There will be shenanigans aplenty in this match. I guarantee you.
I smell an Evolution shenanigan.
That's true.
That's an interesting prediction.
That's true.
Nate's in the building, too.
Nate's in the building, and they just showed off their WrestleMania watches.
So what is the chance that Batista interferes because he feels that Orton would be an easier win?
No. If for Batista to interfere, the Royal Rumble match would have to be before before that match.
Yep. Like it was, I think, 99 when The Rock interfered.
It's happened a couple of times. When I went to the Royal Rumble in 2006, that match, the main event of that night was Mark Henry and Kurt Angle, not the Rumble match.
It was for the title, right?
It was for the title. You know, I'm trying to think. There's been one other time, I think, where the Rumble match was not the main event, but at least we're guaranteed it's the 60 most exciting hours in the wrestling business. Or 60 most exciting minutes, I should say. Not hours. Not 60 hours. But anyways. But I honestly, I'm going with Orton. I don't think... I think it's going to be a clean victory. I think... I don't see any tomfoolery or buffoonery. That's the word of the week around here. Tonight. I really don't. I think it's going to be a clean victory by Orton.
And look at everybody else wears a nice suit and tie, and Shawn Michaels looked like he just came out from the barn.
Because he's gonna after the pre-show, he's gonna go and you know go hunting in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, probably. You know? Even all this snow and everything.
You know, he'll go and hunt something. I'm sure there's some indigenous animals of Pittsburgh that are native only to Pittsburgh, like a raccoon or I don't know. Possum.
And plus, he knows the CEO.
Yeah,
There's no hunting this time of the year in PA.
Like I said, Sean will make it work somehow, or maybe he'll cut open a hole in an ice lake and go ice fishing. I could see Sean doing that during the Rumble. You know, talking to himself. It's very possible. Anyways, the Royal Rumble match, 30 superstars will enter. and only one will be victorious. It'll start with entrance one and two. CM Punk, of course, is the number one entrant this year, according to Kane, from this past Monday night on Raw. Now, who's number two? Well, I guess we'll find out when the Royal Rumble starts. But it doesn't really matter who is what number, because it really anybody could win. Let's go around the room and see who we think is going to win. We're going to start with Lex. Lex, you said Daniel Bryan all the way. Is that it? Okay, you said Daniel Bryan all the way. Give me a secondary.
Wow, secondary. I didn't really think about this because I think it's pretty much a lock in my mind that Bryan will win. But, wow. I think Punk. If I don't know. That's just talking out of my ass, really. I don't really know. Maybe it's one of those things where they're trying to get him to sign another contract, and they're like, we'll put you in number one, have you win, you main event WrestleMania, all that junk. So maybe. I don't know. We'll just go with that. Sure, why not?
Surfer?
This is the first time I can't call it, because, one, I don't really know who's going to be champion come WrestleMania for that kind of matchup. So,
you know what's funny? That they were doing Turnbuckle Throwbacks last night, and we were talking before we were going on the air. We were doing like a sound check and everything. And Phil and the guys, they said the same thing. They said this is one of the rare times that they can't really pinpoint a winner.
You don't know who's going to be champion.
No,
going into WrestleMania, and you don't know who they think will give them the best payoff. Going up,
you can pinpoint the winner. Y'all, people just don't want to. They don't want to believe that this person is going to win. It's obvious.
It's not obvious because
it is.
Fact doesn't mean they brought him back. So yeah, you could think that because he's Batista and they think it'll give them a good payoff. But then, who do you see Batista going up against at WrestleMania?
Randy Orton.
Right now. Dude, is that okay? Forget the network and the $9.99.
It's not me. I'm not saying.
Is that what you put down $70-$80 for?
Not just that match,
but that's
what you build around that match.
That's what takes up 50% of what you're paying WrestleMania for. You know, if that match is terrible, then that whole night is terrible. You can have 5-star matches the whole
night. But they're still going to make money. Whether you like it, whether I like it, people are still going to pay that arena and order it.
That's all you're going to remember, okay? Whether who wins or loses, if that crowd doesn't react to that finish, you ruin your WrestleMania.
Okay, but the show is still going to go on. They're still going to be in business the next day.
Listen, I know.
I feel what you're saying.
Listen, I know it's that conspiracy y'all think, well, it's Triple H, he's in charge, and he's just going to hook up his board. I don't think it's always that simple. I don't. I really think it's more to it than just, I'm going to hook up the guys I like, and the rest of y'all go screw yourselves.
By the way, this is one of the first times I could remember them ever showing the entrances of the announcers. They're showing that during the pre-show right now.
They do that during the
Events, pre-show. Yeah. But
yeah, during live.
Oh, there's the tumbler. There's the tumbler.
Nice.
Hold it. Let's see if we can. The WWE.com stream has gone down. Let's see.
That's not a good sign.
Del Rio.
When John Cena challenges
Del Rio just drew from the Tumblr, and now Kofi is going to draw. They got Cesaro, R-Truth, Jack Swagger, the Great Khali. All right. There we go. Yeah, we need to go back to the time where
Spice Fee's ahead of my feet.
Well, we need to go back to when R-Truth not happy about his pick. But anyways, so we need to have one of those jokes like Triple H made when, you know, he gave his ball to Candice Michelle. Like, would you hold my ball, please? Anyways. I'm going to have to give it. Everybody gave their pick. Surfer, who do you think is going to win? Did you pick the Rumble? Surfer? Uh-oh, here comes the Great Khali, and I'm sure his hand will not fit in the tumbler. Oh, it does. I'll be damned. Surfer.
Just barely.
Surfer, who do you think is going to win the Rumble?
Put the chicken spread down.
That's right.
Come on, pick someone.
Pick somebody, yeah.
Oh, don't cop out.
Do you want the Great Khali? I'll give you the Great Khali if you want.
I'm a wild card. I'm picking the wild card.
You're picking the wild card. All right. What about you, Tony C?
I'm picking Batista.
You're picking Batista.
You're
okay.
Picking all week.
What about and Lex says Daniel Bryan. I'm going with CM Punk. And I'm going with CM Punk based on what I learned yesterday or the day before. WWE Payback in July will be held in Chicago, Illinois. Wait a minute.
Hold it.
Listen to what I'm about to tell you. CM Punk's contract comes up in July, much in the same fashion that happened back at Money in the Bank in 2011. Many feel that if CM Punk does not re-sign with the WWE, it will be his final wrestling match in the city of Chicago. That's the quote in the story. Take it however you want. I don't know.
So what's your correlation with him winning the Rumble?
I think they're going to throw everything at him for him to re-sign.
I think that too.
I think they're going to throw WrestleMania, the Rumble. They're going to throw good title run, good matches. I think a good Daniel Bryan CM Punk feud for the title is something that we haven't gotten and that we deserve.
Here's the $1 million question, though. Do you think WWE would do all that before he signs something?
Yeah, of course.
Do you think they do like a good faith thing with CM Punk, who's known to kind of do whatever he wants to do?
I think they're gonna throw everything at him without him signing.
Very interesting.
I think because it's a lot how TNA buttered up AJ and it didn't work.
Right.
But I think they're people don't care. They're gonna do the same anyway for CM Punk.
Okay.
And they'll risk losing out on a lot. They don't mind putting out the risk, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess it's not really that big of a risk, you know.
No. If he doesn't sign,
they move on and whatever.
They benefit.
Even with the rumor of him and Triple H.
You know what? If that happens, it happens. I'm not. I think that would be a part of the package.
Like, oh, you'll go over Triple H.
Why do people think that Punk would walk from that kind of money?
Because he's hurt constantly.
He's hurt constantly.
Freaking beat up.
I can see him taking some time off, but
no. But he's already
not coming back if he takes time off.
I'm going to tell you something. Punk has probably already made a boatload of money, and I'm not saying he's cheap, but I Punk does not look like the spender type.
Let me tell you this.
Okay, for God's sakes, the only thing that was in his refrigerator was Pepsi.
Plus, you got to keep AJ happy.
Oh, God.
Well, AJ will still collect a paycheck.
Yeah. He said on before, no, I think on Full Cabana podcast.
Then AJ may not get treated.
Oh, please.
As well.
What happened? What did he say on Colt Cabana's podcast?
I think it was on Cabana's podcast, but he said he's made enough money and saved enough money that he does not have a need for another paycheck for the rest of his life. He also doesn't spend a lot, like you were saying, unless it's for like someone else. like he paid off Joey Mercury's house, or, you know, which is a hefty amount. I think it was a couple hundred grand.
Yeah, but still, you know, it's like, I'm sure he cleared a couple million for the year.
In merch alone, yeah, definitely. And then whatever WWE gave him, which is a couple mil probably. So he's set for life. He doesn't need to. He does it for the love of it right now. Let me ask you guys this. Do you think that he did what he said he was going to do and change WWE for the better?
In a way, with certain things. Why is there an enormous, I mean enormous, Royal Rumble sign hanging above the ring? I mean, huge. Massive, huge.
Just so nobody forgets?
It's like the size of the ring. Like, if you were to lay it flat,
everybody knows.
Oh my god, it is enormous. Do you see it? There it is. You'll see it coming up here. They do a wide shot of the arena.
I have the stream up.
Anyways, tag team title match is underway. Chad Patton, the official. Cody Rhodes and Road Dogg kicking things off. And we're gonna attempt to do my play-by-play here. You know, because one day I do aspire to be the next Tony Schiavone or Scott Hudson.
Have you guys warmed up for that to those penny belts yet?
Golden Soul.
No, I have not. I'm never going to warm up to that. I know you
won't. Yeah, those things are ugly. Those are ugly.
He's already shake, rattling, and rolling. He's pulling out the heavy artillery early. Road Dogg with the shake, rattle, and roll, and kick to the gut to Cody Rhodes. Oh, but he pulled it out real early. I mean, we're about 1 minute into the match. Cody Rhodes trying to hit the disaster kick early in the match. Road Dogg to the outside. Billy Gunn in the ring. Clothesline to the outside. Now the New Age Outlaws are reeling on the outside. Gold Dust with the senton off the apron. And there's Cody Rhodes with a flying crossbody onto Billy Gunn. My goodness, it seems the New Age Outlaws are not, they're looking kind of weak at the start of the match here.
Are you watching this off a feed or
off the paper
website or
off
the TV?
The TV.
Yeah, I'm watching it on YouTube. It looks like I'm behind.
Yeah.
Because they're just going with the outside spot right now.
TV looks one of the pay-per-view, correct?
Right.
I'm rooting for tonight, the Evolution.
And by the way, this will be the final Royal Rumble. We will have to pay full price for.
Oh, commercial! My favorite part of the night.
Here we go, first commercial of the night.
Wario mentioned that looks like the Outlaws have new T-shirts.
Yeah.
So maybe they're sticking around longer.
Well, yeah. I mean, how often could they have come out with those damn DX shirts? The generic DX shirt, that is.
Right.
You know?
I got a thing about shirts with wrestlers' faces on it, though. I'd never wear one. I couldn't.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They do have their faces on it. This looks like a 1999, I bought it at Walmart type shirt.
Yeah. Exactly like that.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're shirts from, they plucked them from the warehouse.
That's the Kmart line.
The Kmart line, you know. You know, we had these sitting in the warehouse. I don't know if you guys want to use them. We can recirculate them.
Oh, man.
Goldust and the Road Dogg now in the ring. Snapmare and Road Dogg now taking it to Goldust. Chad Patton just looking on to make sure he's not choking Goldust. Goldust, of course, taking all the heavy hits early in this match, as he has been as of late with a lot of these matches. Let me see here. I'm going to see if we have any breaking news here before we finish up. Now, if you're listening to us live and you want match results as they happen, remember to follow us on Twitter at RantEM Radio. We'll be tweeting results as they happen. And, of course, the entrance of the Rumble, full match results on the website at the conclusion of the night. Your Spanish announced team, Carlos Cabrera, Marcelo Rodriguez, and Ricardo Rodriguez. For those of you that are wondering, that are listening to us in Spanish tonight with your SAP function turned on. And, yes, we do have an SAP function for the network. And we also got a function that turns this into French. Here's your factoid of the night. What 14.
The 1 year they tried to have like four or five different language announced.
I know there was the French. There was there's audio somewhere of Vince screaming about the Japanese announce table. I don't know.
Like they had them like all around the ringside at one event.
Yeah,
they tried to act like it was just a global international thing. They had to have all these people at ringside.
It would be nice though to have the French announce team at ringside, you know.
The French announce team used to always get their thing destroyed.
It would be our Jacques Rougeau and great power slam by Goldust onto Cody Rhodes as the crowd there in Pittsburgh cheering for Goldust to get up on his feet. Oh man, I love a good power slam. That's me. That's just me.
Come on, New Age Outlaw.
Cody Rhodes now tagged into the ring, going up against Road Dogg. And, oh!
How come Billy doesn't help his brother Bart out?
Bart Gunn. Bart had his payday with the 15th anniversary.
Bart was supposed to be the one that was supposed to, go on to... You know, be the better of the two until you got knocked out by Butterbean.
Bart Gunn looks too much like a generic human being. You know, you look at Bart, and he just looks like your everyday creator wrestler.
Like, talk about having your career just flushed down the toilet.
A default, exactly. He's a default wrestler.
Because he lost to Butterbean.
Crossroads onto Road Dogg. 1, 2, Billy Gunn. In with the save. So there you go. The match still continuing on. For those of you listening to us, and you got I know there's one delay that's like 2 minutes behind, or one feed that's 2 minutes behind, I should say. So if you're listening to us,
I'm at the 9 minute mark.
Okay, well I am at the 8 minute 10 second mark.
So you're like a minute ahead of me.
Pretty much. There's you're just about to witness the crossroads. So, anyways, because I've also got the .com feed up for when we get the... wait a minute. I think we just got the... We just... what happened? I missed it. Hold it. Let's get... Wait a minute. Hold it. Goldust on the outside with Billy Gunn.
But the show skipped, and they showed a repeat.
Here we go. Blind tag. Here comes Billy Gunn in. And they skipped. And it skipped also on the pay-per-view feed, it looks like. We're trying to see what happened here. Here's the replay. Billy Gunn on the outside with Goldust gets the blind tag in. Famouser!
Ooh, it's going to be a revolution night tonight, baby. Yes. Phase one is complete.
Oh, my God. The New Age Outlaws are the new WWE Tag Team
Champions. Old Age Outlaws. That's what they are.
Call them what you want, but you got to call them champions.
Oh, bad.
Exactly. All right, any final thoughts before we close up for the night here? Because we are about 6 minutes away from showtime. Any final thoughts going into tonight?
My mood is already...
The evolution has begun.
If I was raised, yeah, my mood would be ruined now. Speaking of which, he hasn't gotten through yet.
I didn't bring him on for a reason.
The evolution. And that is real urban how I'm saying that. The evolution. Mark my words, people. Popping champagne in the back with the limousines, the Lear jets.
Limousine riding, jet flying. All right, we'll have to wait and see, I guess, right?
You think Ric Flair going to jump on the bandwagon, huh?
It's possible.
He's already on the bandwagon. He's getting a payday. He's already there.
Well, anyways.
He's good.
Lastly, if you're listening to us one more time, Rant EM Radio on Twitter, match results as they happen. We will be on the air once again at 11 p.m. with the post show. We will announce the winner of the drawing. We will announce the winner of the Rumble. And we will take your phone calls, including from Rage, William Morgan, and everybody else. If you want to be a part of the post show, make sure you tune in live on TuneIn Radio, right here, Rant EM Radio. And you can call in 954-889-7268, AA The Rant, all one word, on Skype. Gentlemen, it's been fun. Lex, I can't believe it. We had fun today.
Yeah, who knows? This might become a regular thing. We'll see.
We'll have to wait and see.
So you done set the tingle through AA.
Uh-oh. Well, you know what? I won't say anything. Anyways, so for Surfer, Tony C, Lexicon, I'm AA. Enjoy the 60 most exciting minutes in wrestling, the Royal Rumble. It's live. It's next. We'll see you at 11 o'clock. Later.
One shot, everything rides on tonight. Even if I've got three strikes.